JB and Billy started strong.
Well, we're off to a crafting startup. jumped out of the block.
And they've only gotten better.
We're crawling to the line,
We're not breasting the tape, Jim.
So Triple M's Rush Hour is taking a bye.
I'll have a spell.
And instead, we give you the best of JB and Billy.
Do you reckon anyone on any other show is rolling with this sort of stuff?
It's the Rush Hour's mid-season break.
I feel good!
On Triple M.
Billy, you've done some stupid things in your time. But soon we're going to look at one of the most egotistical things you have ever done.
You're calling me egotistical?
That's it.
Plus, we have a story involving Alistair Clarkson and Gary Ablett, and Topics Brownless is on the way as well.
But next, we were on so early this year, we had a chance to celebrate your birthday, which we'll have a look at after this.
This is the Rush Hour's mid-season break. The best of JB and Billy in 2022.
I feel good!
Well, you have to be because you're the same age as me.
55.
You're 55. Yeah. You're older than me.
Yeah.
55 today. Happy birthday to
Is this my upside down pineapple cake that I ordered?
Oh, no.
I ordered. This is fist pumped.
Whitney has brought in a cake she has made for your birthday.
I know. She asked me the other day, and I asked for, this is true, an upside down pineapple cake, Jim. And Wits has made it.
Well, why wouldn't you just say what cake do you make the best and just have that?
Because I'm sick of eating cake that I don't like.
Well, you reckon we didn't make you a cake you don't like?
Well, I did want a poppy seed one, but she couldn't.
Orange, she couldn't do that one.
Old Kitan girl couldn't do it. Double denim from yesterday couldn't do it. So, but I appreciate that, Wits. That's very nice. We'll all have a slice in a minute. That's good.
55 years young, fat.
50.
Yeah, five.
Yep. Well, I was born 67, Jim.
So was I.
Well,
how can we be the same age? I look 20 years younger than you.
Not with that fluff on your face.
20 years younger.
Who looks better, Rabs?
Actually,
no,
probably JB.
Have a look at yes, so he does.
Many happy returns.
Yeah, thank you.
So we wanted to make a fuss of him on air.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
So we got on the phone. I gave the girls and Bartholomew a list of people that would want to come on and talk to Fat on his birthday.
And a big list, Jim.
Bob Ed. Nara.
What happened to Nara?
Gav.
Yeah,
Mark Boss.
Oh, Mark Boss.
Clarky.
And?
Andrew Wills.
Wilsey.
Jamie Lamb.
Legger.
Shane Brewer.
Brewer.
Mate, we even went to Blair Brownless.
Pasties.
He'd
talk. Blair would talk.
Blair Brownless hasn't turned down an opportunity to speak on a live radio station in his life.
Exactly.
Right. All of the above.
No.
No.
Because they can't.
Got
they can't
no interest. No interest in talking to Fat on his birthday. So eventually.
Who did you get?
So eventually we went to the great, and I use this word properly, the great Barry Snowden, otherwise known as Barrence.
Oh, no.
And we said to him, Barrence, we can't get Bob or Nara, Bossy, Wilsey, none of these blokes will come on.
Tim McGrath?
Yeah, who are? Wanted nothing to do with you. The rat.
Pickett.
Liam Pickering, he didn't want anything to do with you.
Brad,
Knuckle, Shell. So what we did, every year we poor old Barrence has to come on.
I know. Yeah,
and he's had, got the,
well, he's a good, been a good mate for a long time. Been through a lot, Barry and I.
Magnificent bloke and a magnificent player, but he was just got the shits because we ring him all the time. He's like, mate, ring someone else. Anyway, I'll tell you what we had to do to get Barrence involved.
What?
Throw him a $200 Neverland bag. If you can throw us one of them,
yes,
I'll come on and speak. Oh, so, God. Barry Stoneham, are you there?
I am, JB. And Billy, I did feel sorry for you a bit, actually, so I thought I'd just jump on board and say happy birthday. I can't believe you're only 55 years old. Is that correct?
I'm 50, Barry, so you know that. What do you got for me? Big present tonight?
Yeah, a couple of beers for you. We're out in the town tonight, JB, Billy and I, in bed by 10 o'clock, I reckon. This should be good.
He's together. Invited. Now, this is how bloody stupid he is, Barry. He's invited you to his pub.
Well, hopefully it's free beer.
It will be.
See, what I did see, though, on the Footy Club website before was happy birthday, Billy, and a picture of yourself, and it said you haven't changed a bit, and you were uni, long blonde hair, tall. You're still tall. Yes. That's about it, I reckon, mate.
Oh, at least I didn't have red hair. Fair
deal. Now, we've been through a lot, you two. Of course, you ran the deli, the milk bar.
Barry restaurant. Left the plastic on
restaurant,
the...
Restaurant, Barry reckons it was.
Left the plastic on the ham and cheese toasted Sanger.
It went well, didn't it?
That was good.
When you think about the bloody 30-odd years you've been mates, Barry, what's the first thing that comes in your head?
Oh, yeah, well, a lot of laughs is probably the first thing. Over the 37 years, probably, we met when we were 18 at the footy clubs. That's a long time, but... Ooh, no, he's been a source of entertainment, Billy, whether he means it or not. You know, he's quite witty, but sometimes doesn't even know about it. So he's been quite humorous, but a lot of good times.
Did some damage at the Geelong Hotel and the Lyric, Baz.
Well, you always say you did. I'm not sure if that's the truth, but no, a lot of good fun. Played some good footy together.
A lot of good times
off the field as well with some great guys. And looking forward to having a few beers tonight.
You played the good footy.
Bazza did. And Gaz.
No, Bazza was a bloody
superstar. He was a decoy, Billy.
Yeah, well, so when, this interests me, when, you know, the likes of Johnny Worsfold and the big hard bastards were around, what happened to Bill then? You must have looked around and said, I can't take them all on.
Yeah, you didn't see much of Billy in those sort of games, that's for sure.
Rick Kennedy.
Rick Kennedy, Chris Mew, all those tougher guys. Roger
Mickey Merrick. Martin.
Mickey Martin, fair dinkum. Who else the other bloke? Danny Hughes. He used to scare me too many.
And the great Spud Frawley, of course. Oh, Billy always had a bit of a sore calf those games. You never saw him.
That's when I kicked nine that day out at the Waverley Baz. Hey, good boy. Well done. Now, he's a good man, Barrons.
You're down to the creamy.
Yeah.
You're paying, which is good.
Yes.
And I think Nara's just said he's coming.
Nara's coming. He's coming
along. That's right.
It's a free drink. Of course, he'll be there. And then when it closes off at 10, he's out the door. And bring your dancing shoes. We might sneak out and just go back to the old days, Baz.
That's a bit of a worry, Bill.
Oh,
better
look
than
out.
Peter Garrett that he used to love rolling with.
Oh, Bazza.
Oh, yeah.
Does he do US Force?
Barry Steinem, you're a bloody superstar. Thanks for ringing in.
No worries, JB. All the best, Bill. See you in a couple of hours.
Right, buddy. Good on you, mate.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You can't say that, Jim, because that is very popular. Popular. That's what's happened.
Now,
yes,
we went Friday to the footy.
We did.
Well, I did. You didn't. You went to Crown.
That's right. I went to Crown.
Yeah. Bill had a gig.
Yeah.
Wow. At the pub.
At the pub.
So what was that gig, by the way?
Well, it's just to get people down to the pub at Crown there, which is it's called the pub.
So you're the lure.
I'm the lure. I walk around. How are you going? Would you like a drink? And they've got the biggest screens there in the world.
We've been there. We've done a show from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Look popular.
Yeah. The shot I saw, there wasn't anyone anywhere near you.
That was be show how big the screen is.
It was be show.
That was it. I was with people there, of course. Ruby and Josh come down.
Not a person near him.
Ruby and Josh come down.
Social distancing still at the pub?
No. Oh. I had to show how big the screen was. That's that shot, if you have a good look at it. Rabbits. So, anyway, good.
So you're employed to try and get people to go to the pub at Crown.
On socials, Jim, I'm an influencer.
No, you're not. You're actually not at all.
I wear Crocs and I'm an influencer.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so he goes to the pub and they pay him. Oh. Well, correct me if any of this is wrong. Yes. They pay him via a voucher. So Bill gets handed a voucher.
Yes. No, well, not there. I had to go somewhere to get it. Yes.
Yeah. And what do you just then cash that in?
No, I don't know. I haven't opened it. I just, I assume that I haven't opened it. It's a lovely package. But I had to go over to another area, to the Crown Towers, Jim, to get my voucher.
To get a voucher.
Yeah.
To pay him for the amazing work he did luring no one to the pub.
And, well, there's a lineup. You couldn't get in the joint, Jim. We sat there and watched St Kilda and Collingwood. It was great.
So Bill goes from the pub to Towers to get the voucher that's going to pay him. When he arrives, the person behind the jump has no clue who Bill is.
No, that's true.
No idea. So Bill's standing there, old fat, standing there going, right, I need to get my money. I need to get my voucher to get paid.
Yes.
And she's, oh, I've got no idea who you are.
So she wanted ID.
And Bill doesn't carry a wallet.
No.
So you don't on any part of your body have driver's license or anything that resembles ID.
Just cash,
Jim. That's all he does is have cash on him.
That's it.
Which he can't use anywhere anymore.
No.
But Bill's got cash on him and nothing else.
No.
So this lady's looking at him going, well, I don't know who you are. So I'm not, and you can't prove who you are.
Well, I said who I was.
I'm not giving you any money.
I said I'm Bill Brown.
So she goes,
pick up a voucher.
She goes, well, how do I know you are who you say you are? Because you haven't got any ID. Mm. At which point Bill said to her, Google me.
Jim.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think I said that.
That is exactly what she said.
Well,
Google me.
So guess what happened?
What happened?
She typed in Billy Brownless.
And?
1 second later, she goes, here you go, Billy. Here's your voucher. Because my big fat head just popped up, mate. And she's had to say, that is you. Well done there. So though that is true, Jim, but that was a good way to do it. That's
Google
smart.
Me.
That's smart. Yeah. Clever. Clever from Anthony William.
Talking about people not knowing who you are.
8 out of 10.
The reverse applied to me. Remember when my car got towed?
Yes.
So I then went to the tow place.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any ID either because my wallet was in the car that had been towed.
They wouldn't get you.
So the bloke says to me, well, Jim, you're going to have to go around to the cop shop and get a stat deck.
No, he did not.
He did. And I said to him,
said Jim.
So I said, you're asking me to prove who I am when you already know who I am.
Yeah. That's annoying.
I know. I had to walk around to the Collingwood cop shop and get the lady to sign a stat deck that I was who I was when the bloke already knew
who
I was.
You were.
That's it.
Well, I got towed one day, and it cost you a lot. You got to pay there and then.
Bill, you get charged for towing and the fine for parking.
Exactly.
$600.
So I'm spewing. An old mate thinks it's funny that towed me, comes up and says, can we get a photo, Bill?
No.
Or is that photo wall? I said,
jam
go
your
and
photo
get.
Up your date.
Exactly right. That's exactly what I said. Go and get stuff.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
That's can't listen to radio.
Righto, Jim. I've been.
Right. This is Topics Brownless.
133353. You can ring now if you want to, but probably need to know the topic.
I reckon that might be. Yeah.
Here we go, Jim. Yeah. Because I've been looking at the local news, scouring the papers, and I've found something, Jim.
I can't believe you're going with this.
I was reading the Elwood Times. Okay?
Oh,
Jim. The Elwood
the
Times.
Elwood Times.
Yes. And a balloon carrying 13 people,
yes,
including the pilot.
Don't know. I would have thought. What do you reckon? The pilot flies remotely.
No, I don't know what he was doing, Jim. landed on a house in Elwood, Jim.
What?
Today. It was all the news, Jim. It was out there in Domain Road. It was very low there, hitting trees near my place, and then ended up in Elwood and landed on a house, 13 people in it. So I've put my mind together, Jim.
Right.
And I've come up.
Well, hang on a minute, because there's proper info about the balloon. It should have landed at Faulkner Park, which is just behind the bot there.
Yeah, the bot, yes.
There's lots of room there for it to land.
Yeah, well, it was going okay.
It was going okay, and then it was blown off course and ended up
in
where it should have been nowhere near in Elwood.
I know. I don't know how it got there.
Right.
But it's the old pilot. We'll have a chat. You'd like to have a chat to him.
Yes.
Say, what happened, old Nag? Is he the gear stick or something? Jim,
it's
the
a hard
steering
landing
wheel?
They had, not a crash landing, a hard landing, but it landed on a house in Elwood.
It was a crash landing on a house in Elwood, Jim.
So you've read this article.
I've read
had
it.
Had to think about
had
it.
Had to think about it.
Said, I've got a topic ready for the family.
And what would be good for the family? That's what I come up with. I like to get them involved, Jim.
So, therefore,
so I've come up with what's landed on your house. Unusual, Jim!
Bill!
What's
that,
landed
that,
on
Bill,
your...
You can't go with that.
That's bloody unusual. A hot air balloon landing on your house, Jim.
It is, Bill, but I don't think unusual things land on people's houses.
Oh, you wait till they come to Papa. Must be a 30-second wait here. Hang on. Wait, Jim. They'll come.
Dave's on the line.
He is. G'day, Dave.
How are you, boys?
Good, mate. What's landed on your house? Unusual.
Not me, mate. Me wife driving out the driveway and a parachute landed on the car.
Oh, no. Obviously no person attached.
No. Oh. They cut it free because it didn't work properly, but it landed on the car as she's driving out the driveway onto the highway.
A parachute. Hard to get off?
No, not really. She sat there a bit worried for a few seconds, waiting for the thud.
I'm about to say, I would have been worried about what was coming next.
Exactly.
Righto, Dave. Stay there.
Dave.
Amy's there in Hastings.
Yeah, same.
Hi.
What landed on your roof? Unusual.
The next door neighbour's whole garden shed.
Oh, no. How?
It was about a month or two ago. We had the big windstorm, and we heard big crash at about 9 in the morning, and we've gone out. We couldn't see until we stepped right back into the backyard, and their whole shed was on top of the our pergola, and their rakes were still inside, strung up and everything.
Oh. It would make a lot of noise, oh, a shed landing on your roof, no, Bill.
With rakes.
With rakes.
It was a big effort to get everyone to get it all back down.
How'd you get it down?
They had to take it down in pieces and try not to fall for our pergola.
Stay there, Ome.
That's unusual, Jim. See,
I've got
told
a good
you.
Listening ship in Mildura. Any more, Bartholomew?
We do have Robin from Morwell.
Hey, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Robin. Good, thank you. What landed on your roof, unusual?
Two frozen potatoes.
Oh, no.
Ow.
They say that somebody must have made a rocket launcher in the next street over, and they were launching frozen potatoes, and they belted onto my roof.
Yeah. My idiot sons, Robin,
yes.
they're 28 and 25 now and just going beautifully.
This is only last week.
Exactly. No, back in the day, they used to get that bloody pipe rabbits and then do the deodorant and light it. Oh. And they'd put the frozen lemons in there.
Yeah.
And Bill, they would fly miles.
What, the deodorant?
Yeah, they sprayed deodorant on our works. It's like they used to call them some bloody thing or another. And, and then they'd put the cap on there.
Yeah.
I'm sure this was illegal.
No, I'm sure it is.
I'm 100% sure.
And then they'd light it and boom.
Kaboom.
The lemon would fly.
Oh,
Bill, we're back in the days of the property. Well, we're not landing anyone
on the roof. They used to have spud guns. Remember that? But this was a big potato launcher.
Boom.
Well, Jim, let's just take a breath.
Honestly, what's wrong with him?
I don't know where to
start. I'd stick around for the joke, by the way.
I wouldn't. Jim, I'm going to tell you now I wouldn't.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Ring now if you listen to it. This is TSL, Jim.
Oh, no, it isn't.
We need more cue.
No, it isn't. All right, so the great Buddy Franklin, likely, whether it's this round or next round, to kick 1,000 goals, which is quite astounding. None of us can quite get our heads around it.
No.
But it reminded me, Fat, of a game I'm sure you would have been playing in without realising it, while we're remembering this part of it, I should say.
Yep.
The great senior was about to kick his 100th for how many times? Would he 5 or 6 times for Geelong?
Three or four.
About to bring up his 100th. Anyway. Al Clarkson, who is an amazing citizen, amazing person as well as the 4-time premiership coach that he is.
A good football man.
Oh, yeah. He was playing for Melbourne, I reckon, at the time.
Wow.
But he'd left North and was playing for Melbourne.
Yeah.
He used to take a kid who wasn't able to go to the footy himself.
Uh-huh.
Clarko would go and pick him up on the day when he wasn't playing and take that kid to the game that the kid wanted to go to because maybe mum and dad couldn't afford it or something like that.
Yep.
So he said to the kid, which game do you want to go to? And the kid said, I'm a huge Cats fan.
Oh.
I love Gary Ablett Sr. I want to go to Geelong, North Melbourne on the weekend.
Yeah.
Clarko's sat there quietly and gone, Gaz is going to kick 100.
Yes.
And it's at Geelong.
Yes.
He couldn't pick one that was at Princess Park. Anyway, he said, no, you want to go to that game, young fella, we're going. Drive down the highway.
Wow.
This is a current AFL player, by the way, or VFL probably at the time.
Yep, VFL.
He's in the crowd when Gary Ablett, against North Melbourne, kicks a goal to bring up his 100th. So pandemonium when it happens.
Breaks.
Everyone's jumping around, screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
This kid, who's about 12, over the fence.
Takes off.
Clarko's like, where is he?
Oh, no, I've lost him.
There are thousands of people on the ground. Clarko's standing there going, I've got to find him. So he jumps over the fence to try and find this 12-year-old kid who's trying to get to Gazza.
Clarko's out on the ground.
So there are two huddles. One's North Melbourne, where 15 of the 20 blokes he played with at North, Dr. Scholl, and the other one's Geelong, where Howe,
Liam Pickering.
And, of course, Lurker.
Yes.
And Darren Steele.
Yes.
They were all the old
Brad
North.
Scholl.
Brad Scholl, all playing for Geelong. They were all North as well. Clarko reckons he's trying to find this kid, and the North blokes are going, Have a look at Clarkson.
What are you doing?
Well, look at this nuff-nuff. He's actually out trying to congratulate Gazza. He's still playing AFL footy. So he said, I got away from them. I tried to find the kid in the Geelong blokes.
God, what are you doing?
Have a look at Clarkson. Trying to tap Gazza on the back.
Cool. That's a good effort by Clark.
He found him. He said, I found the kid eventually and got back to my seats and thought, that's actually pretty embarrassing.
Well, I remember when he did kick 101 day down at Geelong. Might have been this time. Mm-hmm. And he kicked it. Everyone ran onto the ground, except he missed. It was a point.
Oh, no.
So the ground's full, and they've got the goal umpire signals the point. So they've got to wait for everyone to clear. Yep. And then 20 minutes later, he kicks a goal, and they come on again. And guess who was the first to him? Because I knew there'd be a photo opportunity.
Cameras.
Yeah, it was either his 1,000th goal or his 100th.
Fat
knew he was going to be where he'd be in the paper here, front page of the Herald Sun. There's Fat. But I'll tell you, blokes had run out, and don't do this, right? And they'd whack you on the back and go, well done, Billy, which I did nothing, of course.
No, nothing.
But it bloody hurt because you're standing around. They whack you. Oh. Good on, mate. You go, stop hitting me. Like, they're hitting you hard. So don't do that when you run out to see Buddy.
Oh, I love it.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Kim, who went to the Japanese opera, they sang in Italian with some sublines.
Sublines?
Jim? Now, Jim, we like to set the agenda here on the Rush Hour, especially myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get in early, ahead of the 2032 Brisbane Olympic Games.
Yes.
2032,
yes.
Jim.
Yes.
So that's 10 years away. Olympic Games are going to be in Brisbane. You know that?
I find that incredible.
I know. And I want to predict right here, right now, at 25 minutes past the hour of 4 o'clock on the 5th of April, the mascot of the Games. Because we've had a long history with mascots of Commonwealth and Olympic Games in Australia, Jim.
Have we? We've had two Olympics.
Well, who could forget Matilda at the Brisbane Commonwealth Games? Yes. Remember that? 1982. She was 13 metres tall, Jim.
Right.
She weighed 6 ton.
I see.
It was massive. She could wink. Remember she was winking, going along winking, and a pouch would open and 20 joeys
ran out. So it was a kangaroo.
It was a kangaroo, right, Matilda the kangaroo, and a pouch would open, Jim.
Yes.
It was a special forklift truck inside her doing all that. So that was a great. I love Matilda.
Like that, yes.
And then, of course, in the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games, we had a koala.
Yes.
Borobai. That was the koala, Jim, which was a strange-looking thing on a skateboard, but very, very trendy. Also,
Borobai.
Strange-looking thing on a skateboard.
It was. We had crack. Which is a red-tailed black cockatoo for the Melbourne Commonwealth Games.
Yes.
It was not bad, but not great. And then the Sydney Olympics, of course, we had Sid the platypus.
Yes.
Ollie.
Kookaburra.
And we had?
Millie.
The echidna.
Echidna.
So we've had some good mascots.
Right.
So
where are we going with this?
Well, I've done a bit of homework.
Have you?
I've done a bit of homework on this one. And my nomination, and sorry, our nomination, the Rush Hour, because I'm bringing you in with it, Jim.
You better not be.
Is for the Brisbane Olympic Games in 2032.
Yes.
Is the Australian White Ibis. No. The Ibis, Jim.
Bill.
So it's a long billed, black legs, loves getting into the rubbish. Hence, its nickname is the Bin Chicken, Jim.
The Bin Chicken.
Bin Chicken. So it's the Ibis. Very popular.
This is not a news story.
No.
Pretty sure we read it going around strongly yesterday.
Right? Yeah. Setting their agenda, Jim, here, right now.
Right.
So it'll be the Ibis, so don't worry about it. A lot of money is spent on all these mascots.
It's drawn a fair bit of criticism, even the thought of it, isn't it?
I haven't heard anything, Jim. I'm just making it up now. And you know what? I got together with some blokes the other day.
Did you?
We wrote a song.
Right.
About the Bin Chicken. It was me and the Van Vruen brothers.
A crow is a bird with a heaps mad squawk. A cockatoo's a bird with a sick mohawk. Chicken is a bird that tastes good and lays eggs. And ibises are binges drinking dregs. A goose is a bird that's chilled like a duck. An ibis is a bird that's a picnic wrecking f***. Doves are birds that represent purity. Ibises wreck picnics and disrupt the community. Penguins are birds that fall in love and mate for life. But ibises love nothing because they're dead inside. Swan is a bird that's graceful and that. And ibises aren't birds, they're feathered bin rats. Ibis. Bin juice drinking drunks. Yeah, the ibis. Their beaks are gross and long.
The ibis. The bin drinking. That's the Bin Chicken. So that's going to be our mascot.
Well, no, they haven't decided it, have they?
No, I'm telling you. It's coming from,
Right.
Yeah.
That's like the scared weird little guys, by
I
the way.
I know, a bit of scaredy there.
Wasn't very scaredy.
So look out for the ibis, Jim. I'm just telling you. I'm putting it on the agenda now.
I think that's at least 48 hours old, that story, and I think it's been knocked on the head.
I haven't heard one thing about it. I just made it up. The agenda.
I just made it up, the agenda. There we are.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Did you see your former president, old flog here, getting some merchandise from Carly at the club?
We are joined by two AFL superstars.
Together, our next guests played 490 games, won four flags, a Brownlow, a Norm Smith, and were two of the greatest to ever play our game.
Wanganeen, can he kick his fourth and seal it? Yes, he can.
Where goes Michael Law? Oh, what play! It may have been touched on the line. No!
Please welcome Gavin Wanganeen and Michael Law.
As a young fellow adoring the North Melbourne Football Club, it used to hurt me. It hurt me, Purple. Mm. They used to tear us to shreds, these two.
Yeah.
Longy to start with, and we thought finally we might have bloody got rid of you, and then suddenly Gavin turned up and he used to do the exact same thing for the Mighty Bombers. I can't believe he played in the 93 Premiership.
Yeah, I know.
You look like yeah. You're about 28.
Yeah, I've aged well, haven't I?
You bloody have.
Well, you were only about 17 then, weren't you?
What's the secret, please?
Jeans, I don't know. Not jeans, what I'm wearing, but anyway.
We do need to touch on the Bombers. What is going on? You were part of a successful Bombers outfit, and almost since you both left, you can't win a final. Gavin?
Yeah. Don't look around a long
time. Come on. Go to the elder statesman. Long as old.
I don't think my mic's working. Hello? Well, hello? Well, let's go back to the good years there. 93, obviously being a super year, given you both shared in that moment, but you get to 2022, and I don't think there's going to be a premiership this year, is there, for a Bombers fan?
Look, we didn't think that we would have started the way we did, and obviously end of last year's final. So, like everyone has their challenges and timing, and it's, you know, for every club this year, you know, you look at West Coast, you know, but obviously there's a lot of injuries. So, I mean, not you can keep blaming that, but that's the truth. So, I didn't see the game against Hawthorn, but obviously they had a lot of young kids in the side, and it clicked. So, it can happen, you know. And it couldn't turn around, you know, with players coming back in and probably our leaders, because we have got a young side out there.
So, Gav, you're a bit like me, as you know, cricketing champion of WAN, South Australia. So when one's not going so well, I can easily jump on the other one. So are you like that with Port? Like when Essendon are just having a bit of a tough time? Do you just go, mate, Port Adelaide are going all right?
No, I'm always loyal, mate. I'm a loyal guy. But
you didn't say that in the car.
How many wins have they got? Four wins?
Four at the moment.
Not too many more.
Hey, your Norm Smith medal, Longy, was presented to you by the great Maurice Rioli Sr.
Yep.
You must get a great kick out of his young bloke running around, firstly. And secondly, how much like Maurice does he not only look physically, but when he runs with the waddle that Maurice used to, it's uncanny, isn't it?
It is. And it's just great to see. I mean, his niece was at Essendon today, and I asked her a question because we had all the staff and talked about, and pulled her up out of the audience, and I asked her what this all meant to her and the family and Maurice, you know. So she actually got quite emotional.
Did she?
But that's what it means, you know, the family, the next generation. Maurice, obviously big shoes to fill, but it's great to see, the Rioli family connection, obviously history with the Richmond Football Club, and love watching him play. Love watching him play.
And speaking of young kids, how was it for you, Gavin, when Tex got to play his first game?
Yeah, you probably could see the excitement. You know, it was one of those proud dad moments. I mean, he's, you know, getting an opportunity to fulfil, you know, his boyhood dream like all the other young kids. And unfortunate for, you know, Victorian, you know, 17 or 18-year-olds, they missed out on a lot of footy, and he was here boarding for the previous 2 years. So he didn't get to play any footy, missed out on the national draft last year. His first cousin, Desire, got picked up and they played footy together. Mm. It was their dream. So he's had setbacks, and he trained really well over the summer, and he showed the talent that he had and performing well in those practice games and got picked up. And yeah, when he kicked that goal, I know I probably jumped up and down a fair bit, but I can assure you if it was just a plain old set shot, I probably just would have gave him a nod. But because it was a nice, you know, goal running away from on his left foot, I thought, I'll just go for it here.
Did you find yourself having as much joy out of those moments as anything you experienced yourself?
Yeah, too right, Damo. It was just a different feeling. It was almost as exciting, if not more exciting than your own career. It truly was. Yeah, I'm really proud of, you know, what he's doing. And he's only 18, so he's only a young lad. But yeah, proud dad here, that's for sure.
Damo, what a privilege it is to have these two here.
It always is, isn't it? I mean, you have reactions when people walk into studios regularly, but nothing like today.
Well done, gents. Good luck with everything on the weekend.
Thanks guys. Pleasure. Yeah.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Not only is it not funny, it's also highly inappropriate. All right, so Fat's getting his apartment renovated.
Yes.
Right. And he's decided sensibly to go with two very, very good operators.
Yes.
To help him do it.
Chappie.
Firstly, Chappie, who is a master builder, a man that I've known for 20 years. I reckon he's done three places for me, Chappie.
Has he?
And he is a star. Absolute star.
A bit slow.
He used to work with Tomo, Bridges' husband.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, he's a ripper,
good
Chappie.
Bloke. Good
ripping bloke. Yes. So he's a star.
Yeah,
and Lisa, of course, is doing your interior design. And she is a star.
Lisa.
So both of them have been doing it for 20 years.
Very good. She
very
is,
good actually. Operators.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So and I haven't received a bill from both yet. So we'll just
wait and see. So I get a look at the plans, Rabbits. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I look at it and everything looks amazing. But I said to Lise, why would you put the washing machine and the dryer in a tiny little bathroom when you need all the room you can get in there, given the size of old Fat?
Optimise the space.
And you've got a big kitchen area.
Now, Rabs, just listen, right? You don't have to agree with him, okay?
So I come to him and I said, Fat, why are you doing that? Why wouldn't you put the washing machine and the dryer stacked up in a cupboard at the end of your kitchen, broom cupboard next to that? You're never going to use the bloody thing anyway.
So a washer and a dryer in the kitchen.
How many times are you going to use a washing machine or a dryer? Look, really.
Once a week.
At best, once a week. Fat.
So sorry, Bob, the builder over here, right? All of a sudden he turns into a interior designer slash Bob the Builder.
That's it.
So what experience have you got in this industry?
I've built three houses from scratch and renovated four others. So I've got lots of experience.
So you built seven renovated.
I didn't build them myself.
Well, you just said that.
Of course. All I'm saying is this, yes. Bob.
Your Bob.
If you do that, you've then got a heap of more space in your bathroom, which you are going to use every single day twice. So washing machine, dryer once a week.
Right.
Bathroom twice every day.
Yeah, right.
So you want more room in there by taking those two things out of there and putting them at the end of your kitchen, and you got plenty of room. So
you've had long enough.
So idiot here.
No,
know what he said when I pointed this out?
What?
This is what I got to, Rabs.
Yeah.
Within 20 seconds, he looks at me and he goes,
"No,
it's my house."
Yep. Exactly right. And you can
the best argument you can come out.
Call me old fashioned. But you must have a washing machine and a dryer. They've got to be in your bathroom.
They don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they absolutely don't.
Yes, they do.
There's room for it.
There's room for it. A nice little 600 mil in there. With a little cupboard.
Your fat ass trying to get around that bathroom.
European in there. And then I've got me basin. Then
European.
I've got me European. European, whatever it's called. And then I got the dunny. And then the shower. That's all I need.
Let's ask the family whether you should try and pack it into a tiny bathroom.
Oh, listen to him. You'd see, this is what you do. I think it, what's the
133353. Let's do a poll.
Moonlighting. Now, what's it called?
What are you talking about?
I'll find out what he does this.
What are you doing?
What's he doing?
That little turd over there does this. I'm going to find out what the
133353. Are you with me?
Gaslighting.
Taken out of the bathroom.
Gaslight. This is what you
do. Or are you with Fat and you should try and wedge it in there and make a small room smaller?
I don't give a stuff what they say. Shell, what are your thoughts?
You don't need your bathroom looking like a Chinese laundromat.
Mm.
And if you ever have guests over, they don't really want to smell your smelly socks or see your dirty undies.
Good point.
Of course they would. That'd be the idea.
Good point.
Well, they won't be able to see them because it's in a cupboard and you just throw everything in that cupboard. Michelle.
No, Michelle's right.
So the cupboard door stays open and all the dirty laundry just ends up on the floor.
Well said, Michelle. Aiden's in Chernside Park.
Really. Hello, Aiden.
How you going, Fat JB?
Fat Ross.
I'm with Fat on this one. Our family holiday house. They've had the bathroom and in the bathroom had the washing machine and dryer.
Yeah.
Always back you up on that. There's nothing wrong with it.
Good on you. Yeah, see?
ADOS, no, you don't know how small this area is.
It's his opinion, Jim. Jim, gas lighter? No.
He doesn't even know what that means.
Does. When you manipulate.
Phil in Cranbourne East.
Phil.
Filthy.
Lads, how are we?
What do you reckon?
Phil, you are an imbecile. It has to go at the end of the kitchen, behind a cupboard door, hidden away nicely. No one ever sees it. You only do it when you're at home by yourself. You do your laundry. No one has to see your stuff.
Well said.
So someone comes into the kitchen, opens up the door and goes, what have you got a bloody dishwasher and a dryer there for?
Got heaps of room for the rest.
That's Phil's opinion.
And it's a good opinion.
I've marked it down, but it's
wrong. Evan's in Hobart, Bill, your town.
Evan.
Yes.
What do you think?
How are we, boys?
Good, Ev.
Bill is absolutely right because it's his house and his opinion is master. He is the master builder of his house, despite the fact that you might have renovated a couple and built a few.
Yeah.
I've built two houses by myself, DIY. I'm not a tradie. You put it where you want to pull it, Bill, and you'd be proud of it.
Spot on. That's the best call. We got a prize for Evan.
No.
Well, we can at the end.
Tyler from Roeville. Tyler.
Boys, how are we?
What do you think?
Number one, Bill, get a laundry. Number two, you wouldn't be able to fit in there if there was a laundry in there.
That's true.
Why?
Because. What do you think? You can't get yourself through there, Bill.
He didn't want to say I was too fat.
Yeah, no, but he's right.
Well, not really. Well, Bill, that's a silly caller. Never call again, Tyler.
Of all the jokes Billy Brownless has told this year, this is certainly one of them.
It's bloody hard to come up with a good, funny joke every day.
Well, it's not as hard as you make it.
Exactly. So,
on the Rush Hour's mid-season break, this is Billy's joke.
Or not. See if you like this one. Right, I got this sent to me and I'm going to go with it.
Okay. Right.
My sister and I got stopped by the police.
Yes.
The cop told her it seemed like she'd been drinking and he said to her, I want you to say the alphabet starting with the letter M. She said, Malphabet. Like M N.
No, Bill. You don't. When you finally stumble across one that's half decent, you don't have to then explain it.
But she went with Malphabet.
No, we understand. That's what. That was actually quite chuckleable.
Chuckleable.
That one.
That's not a word.
Yeah, chuckleable.
Two from three. Ain't bad.
Two from three.
Ain't bad. Who sang that? The old Chubble.
Meatloaf.
My God.
Two out of three. Ain't bad.
I don't have to explain them.
Malphabet.
This has been the Rush Hour's mid-season break. JB and Billy are back live July 11. In the meantime, download the Listener app to hear the Rush Hour anywhere, anytime. I feel good.